Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is Demon Child, serial killer Sean Richard Sellers. Sean Sellers was a disturbed individual who killed his parents and also killed another victim. We're going to talk about his dastardly deeds. But before we do, we would like to remind you that we are a comedy podcast. We use adult language, so if that offends you, then we're probably not the podcast for you. I would like to introduce our panel. Very honored to introduce a lady who is loved by many, but is known by few. The very charming, the delightful. The
Empress of Evil.
Satan's dirty little secret. The Empress of Evil.
The Mistress of Macabre.
Good Lord.
Queen of Mean. Pill popping.
Penis loving.
Brandy.
You're not here yet.
I practiced this as a solo.
I know, and you was getting stuck there. And you know, motherfucker, I do my shout outs as a solo, but you don't mind jumping in on them. How you feel about it now, huh?
It disturbs me. Brandy.
How you like him now?
How you like me now?
Chuck,
huh?
Is already interfering with Brandy time.
Hey, what else is new?
So how are you, Brandy?
I'm good. It's Friday.
It is Friday, and we have a podcast to do.
We do. We yes. do.
Would you All like right. to tell our listeners how your life has been changed today, Devil?
Charles went out, and I assume it was yesterday. He went to Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. And bought me some a pen and a pencil set that had a little cross on them. He bought me Jesus pens.
So you could have some Jesus in. If you're not going to have Jesus in your heart, Devil.
You sound like my mother-in-law, by the way.
You could have some Jesus at least in your purse, in your pocket, in your, you know, on your desk. Have Jesus somewhere in your life.
Yeah.
All right. That was very thoughtful of you.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so thoughtful.
Let me introduce, amazing. Since he's already...
Since we're already done with me, let's move on to Chuck time because we don't get enough of that.
Let me introduce the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the moral beacon of our podcast, a man who's known as an oasis in the desert of despair.
Nope.
The very honorable Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm scared, Timmy.
Why are you scared?
Because later on today, I got to go see my stunningly attractive dentist, mm-hmm. who is either going to...
What's his name?
No, it's...
Exactly. Bruce.
Her name is Dr. Rachel, mm-hmm. and she is either going to remove a filling, or she is going to remove a filling and do a root canal.
You know what's the most amazing thing about Chuck is, Brandy?
How much I don't care.
The most amazing thing about Chuck is he always seems to get doctors and dentist appointments on Friday afternoon.
I scheduled him for Friday afternoon.
Where the rest of us would struggle to get an appointment on a Friday afternoon on a beautiful spring day. But yet somehow Chuck always has appointments Friday afternoon so he can leave work early.
Because like he's a liar.
Like the devil doesn't have appointments on Friday afternoon up by her house.
Mine are legit appointments.
She hasn't had a legit Friday appointment in the last 5 years.
I have. Don't you besmirch me.
I'm besmirching.
No, don't besmirch
me. I'm besmirching.
We, Tim and I, have been busting our ass on this work that we got from our boss while you have been playing Facebook games with Nick Starr.
I'm
and
sorry.
Trading barbs back and forth.
Do you know how to do... Well, Nick, first of all, Nick besmirched me.
You know...
Nick sullied my good
He wasn't
name.
Even the first one that day to do that.
Yeah, but he put a lot of effort into besmirch me. And, I'm sorry, have you done those Visio flowcharts?
No. You haven't done them.
I have done them.
And I wasn't in charge of the Visio flowcharts.
Because,
charts.
You know why? Because IT
because
has not
stupid.
Even deemed it necessary for you to have Visio because it's too complicated for someone of your intellect. Caliber to use. For what?
For intellect.
Of your intellect, yeah. It's like, you know what it's basically like? It's like giving a monkey a chemistry set.
Have
they
you,
ain't
going to
give
minute.
You Visio.
Wait a minute. Do you know how to use the basic work database that we have here?
Which
the
one are you
one.
Talking about?
The
it's beneath
that,
him.
The one that everybody uses.
You mean the one that the plebs use? I don't even log on to that system.
Yeah, I know.
We had a discussion. I'd like to get your thoughts on. Brandy and I was discussing in our office earlier. Brandy has a lovely employee who has a problem and is at risk of possibly losing a nail, right?
Yes.
We hope it doesn't happen.
Is it a real nail or fake nail?
Real nail.
Oh, that sucks.
And I said, you know, being a cup half full kind of guy that I am.
Always, yeah.
That's
what Tim's known for.
I said at least she wouldn't have to pay as much when she got her nails done.
Right.
And Brandy informs me that they charge you the same. So then the next question I ask, well, what if you only have one arm? You only have one hand.
Yeah, exactly. And what if you only got a thumb?
They charge you the same amount.
You know why?
That's outrageous.
Highway
it
robbery.
It is outrageous. Is it? You know why?
Well, it's goddamn unconscionable.
It's unconstitutional.
Maybe.
Is what it is.
I went to law school. I don't think.
I know my constitution. Don't you?
I don't think there's any amendments about
nails. Don't you lecture the colonel on his constitution?
But I mean, really,
pursuit of happiness.
But you should be charged per nail. If you only have nine nails,
it's not a buffet. I mean, it's a straight price.
I don't like it.
Well, I'm sorry. You know what? Then don't get your nails done there.
You know, the only thing that I wonder about, and there's this place up on my house that does nails, and
have you ever gotten them done there?
They'll have gas masks on.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're breathing in caustic fumes.
But the customers don't have gas masks.
Yeah, you don't
no,
do
but
all
we
day.
Don't do it all day, every day.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if the person bringing me lunch is coming with a big-ass hazmat suit on, I'm not sure I want to eat
But they're
lunch.
Not bringing me
That's
lunch.
That's like when you get x-rays and they stand behind the lid.
Yeah.
The technician
Yeah, what's up with that?
Wall. All right, let's get to our Patreon shout-outs. We would like to
You
thank
didn't ask me why I was scared, Timmy.
Done with you.
Oh, yeah, no, I got to that. Never mind, I did. So if your thoughts and prayers could be with the colonel this afternoon at 3 o'clock, I would appreciate that.
You know what? My thoughts and prayers are already with other people, so.
Yeah, I don't have any.
I don't
my
have
thoughts and prayers are with Rachel Marie Flynn.
Yes, but I've
not
got
feeling
yes.
well.
I've got nothing less
we hope
left
she is
for
really
you.
That is true. Rachel, we hope you're doing well. Let's give a shout out to those who support us on Patreon. We really appreciate your support. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee tiny bit to me.
Yes, and we've got amazing support, and we want to thank all of you for being so generous, including Alicia and Chip. Alicia, it's Alicia's birthday.
Happy
it is.
Happy birthday, girl.
Yes, and Charles will be singing happy birthday to you later. In the podcast, Daniel Bassett, Jen Moyer, Tommy Lane, who we have been using the male pronoun for, and Tommy is
you
a lady.
You screwed that up.
Tommy is a beautiful lady, so Tommy, thank you very much. She's in Hawaii, by the way. So
Tommy's
she,
in Hawaii?
Yes.
Then she don't even care what we're referring to her as. She's just in paradise.
She is. Jason Dykes, Bridget Clavey, thank you. Brandy McBride, Maggie Glover, Amber Krupp, Joe Hopkins with the Now American History Podcast. Thank you, Joe. Rebecca Osserich.
That's Becky Omelet.
All right.
Don't mangle up a name like that.
Thank you, Rebecca. Karen Alden, Cheryl Pierce, TJ Young, And I'm going to read this as it appears on Patreon. Catherine Cock Garage Richardson.
Yes.
Okay, that's how it's written. So, Catherine, thank you very much. Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Donna Curran, Maja, Aaron with an A, Kimberly Cameron, Cheryl Weldon, Christine Howard or Chris Howard, and her cat, Jeffrey. Let's see, who else do we have?
I love that.
We have Stacy.
If you'd have read the spreadsheet I gave you.
Heather Poole. Charlie and Allie from the Inside Podcast. Of
he
course,
could be prepared just
Rosanna
once.
Yeah. From They Walk Among
Rosanna,
Us.
Rosanna.
Jennifer Siemens and her mother, Linda. Cindy, Lou, Elise, Scotty K with the Killers, Cuts, and Nut Jobs Podcasts. Did I say it wrong?
No, you're good.
You mangled it.
It was
again.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Killers, Cults, and Nut Jobs podcast. History Goes Bump. Diane Student Course. Thank you very much. Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahara, Dr. Jeff, and Don, who we're going to hopefully get to meet next week. I'm excited about that.
Next week, yeah. You go into a restaurant that doctors can afford, but. You know.
Yeah, we wanted to show him a nice restaurant.
Well, we already told him that we'd wash dishes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be waiting on. I'm going to be stealing tips off tables at that place.
Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Holly Woodward, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, and her sister.
Her sister,
Mary Ruth.
Mary Ruth?
Yes.
I always want to say Ruth Ann. I got that mangled up. It's Ruth, Mary Ruth.
Jennifer Rasnick. Thank
like
you,
baby
Jennifer.
Ruth.
But different.
Tyrone, Phyllis Munson, Sarah Morgan, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Mandy Swanson, and Rudy the Wonder Dog. Thank you all very much for supporting the podcast. We really appreciate it. And as I said, if you would like to support us, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs. All right, let's get into our topic, shall we?
That'd be great.
That'd be great if you could do that. That's what listeners are tuning into here. And
the title of our podcast today is Demon Child. You like how I always give these cool little names to our podcast?
Timmy, you should go to work really for a edit.
Are
a
you
going to
spit something
company.
Out? Good God.
Don't put pressure on me. I got performance anxiety here.
Yeah, I've heard.
Okay, so the topic.
You should really go to work for a publisher coming up with titles for books and
thank
stories.
You.
And
thank you.
Oh, thank
and
God
editing,
I got that out.
Editing them.
Because I capture the essence of the story.
You capture the essence of
yes, he
the
does.
Story very
the
well.
The essence is exactly yeah. what I was thinking of.
Fuck you. All right. The
seems
title,
harsh.
The title is Demon Child, Serial Killer, Sean Richard Sellers. All right. Sean Richard Sellers was a serial killer.
Yep.
He killed three people.
Does that count as a serial killer?
You got to get the three to make yourself a serial killer.
Yeah, he killed three people. He's borderline. But
two is just a hobby. Mm-hmm. Two is just a bad day.
Yeah.
But three makes you a serial killer.
He was one of just 22 persons in the United States since the reinstatement of the death penalty in 1976 to be executed for a crime committed while under the age of 18.
So you already gave away the ending here.
He was 17 when he went on his rampage.
I'm glad you don't do cover-to-cover kids. You just be like, there was three little bears.
They lived happily ever
and then
ever.
They lived happily ever get out. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Some blonde bitch got in their house.
Yeah.
Sean Sellers killed a store clerk and later his mother and stepfather in cold blood. Seller was the only person during this period to be executed for a crime committed, as I said, under the age of 17. So he was like.
Are you going to reinforce that point, huh?
Yeah.
Drive that point home to me.
Thank you. No. He was young when he committed these crimes. His case drew worldwide attention due to his age.
How old was he now?
As well as his jailhouse conversion to Christianity. And the claim that
did he get pins?
Demonic possession made him
the devil made him do it
of his crime.
That's bullshit. She claimed demonic possession all the time.
Yeah, Brandy.
Mm-hmm. How do you know it's wrong?
All right. So let me tell you about this young man's early life.
We're waiting with bated breath, Timmy.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Thank you.
I peed a little.
Thank you very much. So let me tell you first. Okay. On November 22nd, 1968, what happened on November 22nd, Colonel?
That's when 5 years prior, our president, the fine John F. Kennedy, was assassinated in Dallas, Texas.
That is correct, but it has nothing to do with our story.
There you go.
Nothing at all.
On November 22nd, 1968, Richard C. Sellers and Vonda Blackwell were married in Kings County, California.
That's what you were looking for? That mm-hmm. was the answer you were looking for?
Richard was 17 at the time, and Vonda was 15.
Yes.
That's, yeah.
6 months later, do the math here, Colonel. Six months later, Sean Richard Sellers was born on May 18, 1969.
6 months, you say?
Uh-huh.
Was he born three months early, Timmy?
So basically, they had premarital sex.
They was fornicating before the nuptials, Timmy.
All right, so we already know.
Well, I know.
They're sinners.
Clutch the pearls.
Yeah, they were sinners. And of course, they was going to raise a sinner, Timmy.
All right.
You can't be a sinner and raise a righteous boy.
I see. I don't agree with
that. Are you sure?
Premarital sex leads to your boy growing up and killing you.
Mm. Every time.
Every time.
Well, not every time, but like 7 out of 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
In 1972, when Sean was 3, his mother, Vonda, who I have described here as a wholesome-looking blonde, Colonel.
Mm, well, okay. Well, I can go for that.
She got divorced from Sean's father, Richard, who was an alcoholic.
You skipped a whole bunch there.
Yeah, I know, a little bit. So they got married. They had Sean, and then his father becomes an alcoholic. The couple
team.
They have a bad relationship, and then Vonda leaves her husband, Richard. Who Vonda, a wholesome looking blonde.
Well, I don't know what
Vonda,
that means.
Vonda. What's Vonda's last name?
Sellers.
If you could pay attention to the story, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if she took the name. Or
all right, well, let
did.
Me get back on track here. So 18 months. Anyway, when Sean is 18 months, his parents get divorced, okay? She leaves town looking for work, she being Vonda, his mother. And she left Sean to live with a succession of relatives. So in 1976, when he was 7 years old.
She's not a bad-looking blonde, Timmy.
No, she's wholesome.
She's a wholesome.
Yeah.
In 1976, when Sean was 7 years old, Vonda remarried. She married a mechanic by the name of Paul Belafonte.
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 She married Harry Belafonte?
No, I think it's one of his kids.
Belafonte.
The least successful one.
But Mr. Roboto.
But things did not change for Sean. Remember, she kind of dumped him off with relatives, and she was
trying to find work. She was a working mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guess what happened?
Easy, Tim.
Guess what happened?
She dumped him off again.
The two of them found jobs driving a truck across the country, and she left the boy to stay with relatives again.
Do what you got to do.
Well, Sean, in the meantime, was being cared for by his grandfather, Jim, and his step-grandmother, Geneva. Okay, so his parents were on the road for 3 and 4 weeks at a time, you know, hauling.
Working.
Yeah, working. All right. Sean never complained, but he seemed to develop a painful sense of rejection. By the time he was
That's like complaining.
By the time that he was 5 years old, and I'm stepping back here.
Little bitch.
By the time he was 5 years old, he started hearing voices that would criticize him. He thought nothing.
He was married at five.
He thought nothing of these voices, as he thought it was normal.
Yeah.
In third grade.
See, I hear voices that compliment me, Timmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Sometimes I'll be walking down the hall and I'll hear like, Colonel.
I wish you would hear a voice that will tell you to speak into the mic.
I am speaking into the mic.
When you turn your head.
Pot meet kettle.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sitting right here, my face right
into
the mic.
No, you turn to talk to me, and it messes up the...
Quit looking at Timmy when you talk.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, Timmy.
Dick.
Concentrate on our listeners. Listeners first.
I'm focusing now.
Thank you.
When that light comes on, you need to be on.
No, I'm
All right, so in the third grade, his mother and stepfather decided to take Sean out of school and move him to California. He was an exceedingly bright student, and he took comfort in reading. Later, Sean would claim that he was sexually molested by a neighbor when he was 7 years old. The older man, Colonel, forced Sean. I don't even want to say this. Forced Sean to suck on his testicles.
Oh my God, that's awful.
That's pretty goddamn disturbing.
Sick. All right, at first, science fictions and tales of the supernatural.
Science fiction?
Science fiction.
Tales of the supernatural.
Sinus fiction does do that.
Were Timmy, staples of his reading material. He lost himself in a reading. That's what I'm getting at here.
Speaking of, how is your sinus fiction?
Thank you.
Is it cleared up?
Yeah.
Are you doing all right there?
Thank you.
He's feeling much
I gotta go. I have a doctor's appointment at 3:30 this afternoon, though.
Oh, we won't be here, so that's fine.
A babysitter introduced him to books about Satanism.
No, yes. That's the kind of babysitter you want.
So obviously, Amber Krupp was babysitter.
Yeah.
Aw. Oh, poor Amber.
Kidding,
she's
Amber.
She's the sweetest girl.
She is.
Did the babysitter introduce him to firearms, too? Here.
No.
Oh, yeah, you're 9 years old. It's time for you to have a gun now.
But after being introduced to...
That happens a lot.
After being introduced to books on Satanism, he found himself attracted to the occult. Mm. When Sean was 8 years old, he devoted himself to Satan. Okay.
How old was you when you devoted yourself to Satan? Double?
That's kind of a silly question.
I mean, was it something that... neighbor gave you a book, or was it something you stumbled across? Was you in your experimental phase in college when you was...
It's where all the hot guys are.
Was it the economics professor you were sleeping with?
Really?
Well, we got that worked in this one, Timmy.
Sean would read these books when his parents were away. He was smart enough to know that they would not approve of his satanic readings. Anyway, so he's getting transferred back and forth between his parents, his grandparents, but all the while he's learning about Satan.
Satan?
Sean experienced bedwetting well into his teens.
So did Chuck.
Oh, man, this is bad.
Chuck's not a serial killer.
His uncle, who lived in the house with him, with his grandparents, his uncle used to make him wear a diaper on his head in front of his friends on the days after he wet the bed. So...
That's why uncles.
This was
why
to,
didn't
this
they put
was
a diaper on him before he went to bed instead
well,
of his
this was too embarrassing to encourage him to stop.
Because you can help it. It's a conscious thing.
Yeah, that was not a good thing. Sean's uncle was determined to make a man out of him.
There you go.
He would take
come here, boy.
Come here, boy.
He would take Sean. He would take Sean hunting and taught him how to take the heads off animals by pulling them from their legs.
Yep, that's true.
So what do? You hold the head and you pull the legs until the head comes off?
Yeah.
Chuck?
I know you can do that with cicadas. Yeah. I don't know how you do it with a deer. It seems like you'd need a knife or
something. I
think
it's more along the lines of like squirrel, rabbit,
or frog,
that kind of stuff.
When Sean was 12 years old, he discovered the role-playing game Dungeons & Dragons.
Yes!
Yeah. Which I can never get into.
I was a dungeon master.
Not last week, like when you were a kid.
Oh, okay.
It fueled his darkening fantasies. It was around this time that he started to use plunge into his scalp.
Hmm. What?
You know why? Because it's hard to get the dull objects into
good
scalp.
Point.
It usually, yeah.
Yeah.
He also kept vials of his own blood in the refrigerator and drank it in front of his peers at school.
Is that wrong?
Yeah, you don't.
Kids at school teased him for his odd behavior, and he was voted most likely to become a vampire. So I guess they had
that
to
was a thing.
I think it was just like a joke.
You think?
To the adults who knew him, Sean seemed like a well-mannered child, and was just going through, you know, adolescence. Even from a distance, though, his
from
parents
that went through my mind too.
Even from a distance, even though his parents were not always in the home, they maintained strict control. They thought Sean was never good enough, and they demanded more and more from him. He was timid. He was a beaten-down kid who never was accepted by his peers or his parents. He was being constantly uprooted, and he had a sense of isolation.
And he went to bed a lot.
He was
sounds
in the seventh
like a recipe
grade,
for disaster.
Not in the trifecta.
When he was in the seventh grade, his parents, Vonda and his stepdad, Paul, moved to the suburb of Oklahoma City. You ever been in Oklahoma, Colonel?
I've been there.
Okay.
Of course he has.
It was here that he forged his first close friendship. He met a boy named Richard Howard, not Ronnie Howard.
Ronnie's brother.
Richard Howard, mm-hmm. who in some ways was
the
Sean's...
The deranged brother.
Was Sean's... No, you know, Ronnie Howard had a brother who was an actor, too. Mm-hmm. Played in...
Yeah, he still does.
What was that movie, TV show? About the bear?
BJ and the Bear.
No, it was a bear.
Grizzly Adams?
Nah, it's longer before.
Gentle Ben. Gentle Ben.
Thank you, Colonel.
You know, and that's bullshit. Because eventually a bear going to eat you because he's going to get hungry.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to get tired of, you know, you wrestling around with him, and he's going to say, you know what?
I'll just eat you now.
I don't feel like foraging for food today. I'm going to eat you.
Yes. So anyway, Richard Howard was a completely different person, but in some ways he was Sean's spiritual equal. Raised by his grandparents, he shared Sellers' passion for Dungeons and Dragons. They were teammates on the track team and weightlifting squad. In the summer of 1983, when Brandy was 45,
Third grade.
You were third grade, 1983?
Yep.
I was in my first year of college.
The Belafatos moved to Greeley, Colorado, where Paul had found a new job, and Sean had to leave his friend. So he has one friend, they move away.
All right. Was the friend into devil worshiping and whatnot?
Yeah, Dungeons and Dragons, the whole bit.
Dungeons and Dragons is not
devil worshiping. No, I know, but I mean, they shared everything. Sean's unhappiness was eased by a summer romance, Brandy.
Oh, perfect. My goodness.
He met a young lady in church camp.
Church camp?
When his girlfriend broke off the relationship that winter.
Was this in Satanism church camp?
No.
His parents sent him to church camp.
They were concerned that he had been...
He needed Jesus.
Yeah, they were concerned about
I was concerned that you needed Jesus, so
whole,
I bought you a pen.
Devil worshiping. So they sent him to church camp. He met a girl there, and he fell in love.
Just recapped his sentence.
He fell in love with this young lady. She broke it off in the winter, and he thought about killing himself. This is 1983. But he turned to Satanism for solace. Hmm. He later said he was mad at God. He wrote a journal. He was mad at God, and deep down, he wanted power of the supernatural. So he dedicated himself even more to Satan.
Who doesn't?
Right.
In 1984, Sean faced another upheaval in his life when Vonda and Paul returned to cross-country driving and deposited their troubled son with Vonda's sister, Debbie, back in Oklahoma. Confronted by yet a new school, Sean didn't even bother this time to try to fit in. Instead, he started drinking and studied Satanism. So he's really turned to Satan at this point as a young man, Brandy.
He's made a left.
Yes. So what happens next?
I'm going to tell you. On a visit. Huh?
I'm waiting.
Oh, okay. On a visit to Colorado, Sean and another friend conducted a candlelit satanic baptism of a third youth. Cloaked in black, equipped with a silver chalice and a ritual sword, the two dressed their acolyte in white sheet and commanded him to strip. Then we cut him, drank his blood, and used it to write a dictation to Satan. When Vonda and Paul reassembled the family in Oklahoma in the fall of 1984, their son was elated. Reunited with Richard.
Reunited and it feels so good.
He introduced him to Satanism.
Which one was peaches and which one was cream?
I believe the guy was cream.
All right.
The girl would have to be peaches.
Okay. Makes sense.
Okay, so he's reunited with his one friend in Oklahoma City.
So good.
He introduced him to Satanism, and they found a handful of new friends willing to explore the occult.
Okay, so they got their own little.
So they got their own little Satan club.
Yeah. By February of 1985, he was ready to dedicate his life to the powers of darkness. In a solitary ceremony in his bedroom, he lit candles, burned incense, and wrote in his own blood, "I renounce God, I renounce Christ. I will serve only Satan. Hail Satan."
Now, see, I one time wrote my own blood on my wall, "I declare bankruptcy."
Well, that's interesting.
Well, because yelling it apparently doesn't make it legal.
No, we learned that from The Office.
Yeah. But I think if you write it on your wall in your own blood.
I think it has to be chicken blood. That's where you fucked up.
Damn it.
By this time.
I saw a message in blood on a wall. It said, "I'm on my period." It's gross.
Is that on the boys' bathroom wall?
No, it was just like on a wall. I don't remember. It wasn't in a restroom or anything.
Hmm.
Just, I think someone did it as a joke, but.
Well, I would like to think so.
Yeah.
Because if they put it there, I mean, if they were going to put it there and then sit there, that would be okay.
Right.
But if they just put, "I'm on my period," and left.
It was like Kilroy was here. You know,
you don't know who is on their period, and now you're uneasy because you might run into a woman on her period.
You have to carry
Receipt. But you could tell it was that person because they'd have nastiness all over their hand. See?
Well, see, but you can never tell from a woman because a woman on a period,
she'd have
having the
on
blood
her
on her hand might come from ripping somebody's heart out.
Well, yeah. All right, so by this time, his parents were paying attention and had taken note of his transformation.
Well, yeah, that's a good thing. You put time to caught on.
Yeah.
Vonda's a little slow there.
Well,
she was a wholesome blonde, though.
Clearly, Vonda's
with big boobs.
She was wholesome.
She was clearly wholesome and had big
wholesome
boobs.
Looking.
Vonda's maternal instincts were not quite as honed as they should
be. Well, she was an 18-wheeler. She was a trucker.
She was a trucker.
She probably had a chimpanzee went with her named Clyde. But
I think it was her husband.
Oh, okay. Well,
let's see. So Sean slipped from high honor roll. He lost his interest in sports, and he abandoned his clean-cut look for a scruffy semi-Rambo style.
Oh, man. That's a panty
oh,
dropper.
Oh, okay. So he's
Rambo is a panty dropper.
Yeah. Only if he wears the shoestring tied around his head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gets you.
Yeah.
At first, they explained it away as adolescent eccentricity. His fascination with the Japanese assassin rites of ninjutsu.
That's ninjutsu.
A Lego thing.
I have taught it to me. I've taught ninjutsu. I'm a third degree ninjutsu myself.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. You're a plaid belt?
Hmm?
Are you a plaid belt?
No, that's a paisley belt.
Yeah.
A paisley belt?
Yeah. Let's see. Here we go. So he's got this fascination with ninjutsu. They reasoned it was a way of being like Paul, who was a former Green Beret.
Yeah, kind of.
What the fuck?
This is his stepdad. They thought, well, he's trying to be like stepdad. He's trying to be Rambo, badass.
Uh-huh. But when teachers discovered Sean's satanic Bible and a search of his bedroom revealed his altar devoted to the black arts, Paul lashed out at Sean, telling him, "You do not exist."
Oh.
Well.
You do not exist?
Yeah.
So Paul,
my guess
hold
is
on.
He kind of felt that way already.
Paul says to who? He doesn't exist?
Sean. To Sean.
His son. Their stepson.
Okay. Okay.
Now pay attention, please.
After he said that, Sean remembers, "I went to my room and the satanic books were a calling me."
Oh.
Vonda tried desperately to talk to her son, but Sean was intractable, saying only that she wasn't trying to understand him.
No.
She wrote to a cousin, "When my complete destruction is so important, why my complete destruction is so important, I don't know, unless it's because Satan knows I don't intend to give him up without a fight. To be honest, I'm scared, but I'm reading the Bible and praying for help. To pacify his mother, Sean went to Bible study where he met that girl. Mm-hmm. And he also met a Catholic priest.
Oh, okay, good.
Hmm.
So far, so good.
It's not often the best thing to run into. Exactly. Questioning Christianity.
Yet his devotion to demon worship never faltered. At school, he flaunted his allegiance to Satan. In biology lab, he ate the leg off a live frog.
Well, frog legs, it's not uncommon for people
to eat
frog legs.
Bad? Is that a...
He ate the leg off a live frog.
Well, the fucker kept hopping away.
Well, they don't
You're
hop.
Trying to... Huh? Yeah.
They don't hop very
Well, that
hot.
Will show him if you eat off his leg.
It's hard to hop with just one leg.
Hmm?
You know, if you're a frog.
If you're a frog. Now, if you're a person, you can do it
That's
like
all
somebody.
You can do.
I've seen them in the Olympics. It's impressive.
You know what? Curling. I don't get curling.
I think we've had this discussion.
I like curling.
It's okay.
I like curling. It's basically, and you know, I'm surprised you haven't, because you're good with a broom, devil.
Yes.
You're good with a broom. And I'm surprised they don't have the devil on the curling team.
I'm a professional. I gave up my amateur status.
Yeah. Okay. That's same with me in gynecology.
Yes.
And same with
me. Are you in the gynecological Olympics?
I was an amateur gynecologist for many years.
Did you give that up yet?
No.
Oh, good. So you're practicing.
I don't want to give
you're
up
a practicing
my,
amateur gynecologist.
Yeah, I don't want to give up my amateur status. Because you get pro, then.
Where you go pro, you got all
then
the
you
liability.
Have a license.
And you go pro.
There's regulations. I mean, it's a whole thing.
You know, here's the thing about
continuing education. I mean, it's a whole thing.
Here's the thing about being a gynecologist. It sounds like, in theory, like a good idea.
Yeah, but you can't pick your clients.
That's the whole thing. You don't know who's walking through that door next. You don't know who's walking through that door next. And she might have the decaying vagina and expect you to fix that thing. And there ain't nothing you can do about a decaying vagina.
Well, you got to roll up your sleeves.
Yeah, you got to roll
up your
sleeves.
You got to put on a miner's hat.
I mean, sometimes you shoulder deep in that sumbitch before you can even figure out. And then I want you to think closely. Think
shoulder
hard
deep.
About this. I mean, you got to get the barnacles and shit off of that
he
thing.
He has got the giggles today bad.
So, I mean, you got to, you know, it's like for every good one you get, you got one, like I said, it got the barnacles on it. You got to go get your chisel and hammer and knock those things off.
Have you actually ever seen a vagina?
But here's the other thing.
Of a living person.
Sometimes you have to get the vacuum cleaner out.
Oh, you got
to
get the pressure washer on it. It's like, you know what? Okay, I'm going to write your referral down to the car wash. I want you to take that pressure washer.
Power vac.
Squirt that thing off. But here's something to consider.
I doubt it.
Here's something to consider.
Let's consider.
There are
I'm
people.
Not going to.
There are doctors who are proctologists.
Oh, yeah, on purpose.
They have said, basically, I want to spend
that ass.
I want to spend my whole life and people's assholes.
Looking at buttholes. Yeah.
But you know why?
And here's the other
thing. You know what?
Thank God they
That's
do.
What I spend my
you
life doing.
You don't know who's walking through the door next.
I know.
Well, you know what? I'd almost rather do that. Because being a gynecologist, you could get some really nasty clients.
Really? You don't
but
think
you could
get some nasty buttholes?
You get some nasty asses.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if you were like in Beverly Hills and you were like gynecologist to the stars.
Or a plastic... Like a gynecological plastic surgeon.
Or if I was a guy, if I was an anal bleacher.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah. I mean, I could do that.
Well, that's you don't even have to. That's
because you're not really getting ugly people that want the anal bleaching.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. You could get an anesthetist to do that. But
really?
Sure.
To bleach anus?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you just put bleach on it.
Colonel, will you go with me? And we'll go together.
Yeah, we'll go together.
Maybe you got to get a Brazilian wax first.
I'm not about that. I don't like that.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, they yank all your hair off.
Yeah, they yank all the hair out of your
You got
taint.
A little landing strip there, don't you?
You can if you want, but not necessarily. But you don't want to bleach a hairy butthole because then it just looks weird.
I got right
it
here.
It stands out.
Then it looks like flock of seagulls.
Because this was brought up by TJ on the guy that's going to be with the younger girl and he's got, you know, the
it's
smoky
Todd Long,
crotch.
But okay.
Yeah. Todd Long, yeah.
No, his friend.
His friend, yeah.
We're talking about our Facebook group.
Personally, I got from my belly button, I got about a half-inch line that runs from my belly button right down to my jaw.
I don't remember asking.
Is just shaved and trimmed.
Oh, I don't remember asking.
So, and I call that the little landing strip.
So you do a little manscaping.
Oh, yeah. I'm an expert manscaper. I got, like, equipment at home. You know, I got the trimmers. I got the straight razor to get it a really fine, you know, thing.
Thank you for sharing that.
Sometimes I'll put some gel on it and make it a mohawk.
Oh, well.
You know, sometimes I got it as smooth as a putting green. But, yeah.
Continue, Brandy.
It's a hobby I have.
It's an amazing fucking story.
Continue, Brandy.
So, well, now I've lost my spot. All right. So he's eating the leg off frog.
Yeah.
He always carried a small vial of fresh blood and
Who doesn't, really?
Well, mm-hmm. Billy Bob Thornton did. And he made a show of drinking from it in the lunchroom. Sean found kindred spirits at an occult bookstore and midnight showings of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Satanists, he says, are easily recognizable by the...
Oh, by good. The horns.
No.
By what?
By their evil taint.
But not the worst of the evil taint. Girl.
And I just... And see, I don't know if that's a typo.
And typically, evil taint, and this is what a lot of people don't know. We have discussed decaying the vagina before.
No, a lot of people know that.
On a number of occasions. But a decaying vagina, vaginal depreciation, often comes from having an evil taint. It's the taint that's causing the decay in the vagina.
Okay, well, could you spread out anymore? Like, it's your fucking house. Get your leg over on your side.
The taint is strategically located.
It is. But it can have a serious impact.
Do they do tattoo? Will they tattoo your taint?
Probably.
They can pierce your taint.
Yes, they can. All right.
Makes me wheezy.
So.
You know.
Makes
I've
you
never,
wheezy.
Here's something I've never seen. I've Find never George. Seen somebody with a rectal ring. You know how people got nose rings?
I do understand.
And they got nipple rings and they got clitoral rings.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody yet ever said, I want my asshole.
Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it's not.
No, because I'd see it on the internet.
How would you do that? I mean,
you know what? What if they get, you know those gauges you put in your ears that make the hole bigger?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that would certainly cut down on constipation.
Well, you sure would. All right.
But it might just fall out as you're walking. That'd be
embarrassing. Sean, well, I think if you do that, your self-esteem and it's already kind of
they're gonna people going to put diapers on your head to straighten you out.
All right. So Sean further identified himself by a symbolic dress code. He wore his left shirt sleeve rolled up and kept his left pinky fingernail long, sharpened, and painted black.
Much like mine.
Whatever, lady hands.
So Sean's a little freak, basically.
Yeah. Sean would get beat up in my school.
In the months before his first murder, which consummated his effort to break all 10 biblical commandments, Sean became consumed by Satanist ritual. When Richard and the 8 or so members of their coven, with Richard and the... Okay. He took over an abandoned farmhouse and used it as a place of worship. They would cut each other and drink the blood. At home, Sean kept a cache of blood-filled vials hidden in his parents' refrigerator.
Fucking really? This motherfucker walking around weak all the time? Ain't he anemic by now? Where are you getting all this blood, Sean?
I don't know.
You got a dog, fucking dog, walking around eating cookies and oranges all the time because he draining the blood out of the dog?
I don't know
dog.
How you hide. Like, I mean, I hide the Reese cups in the fridge. But, I mean, you know, if somebody really looked, they could see it. I mean, you can see them.
I'm sure no one touches your Reese cups.
Oh, I bet they don't. I'd just soon come
they
up.
They do.
And, you know what? I would come up and grab your breast before I would grab one of your Reese cups.
I wouldn't suggest that.
Because I think
you're dying either way.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. There's so certain things that you just don't do.
That's true. Not in polite society.
Not in polite society, yeah.
Don't take a bitch's Reese cup. All right. So, Sean compiled a grimoire. Is that how you, grimoire?
Yeah.
Oh, Timmy, you were supposed to save that for my page.
No. It is a manual for invoking demons and spirits of the dead.
Well, that's right up Brandy's alley.
He stayed. I just call it my big book of shit. I don't give it like a fancy name.
The book of grievances.
That's right. He stayed up all night poring over satanic tracts and performing rites using amphetamines to stay awake and alcohol and marijuana to calm himself down. As the sleeplessness, self-hypnosis, and marathon rituals continued, Sean began suffering from blackouts. He was probably just going to sleep.
That's a blackout.
A right, demonic.
Girl? That's a blackout.
A demonic.
I've done lots of things in blackout.
Blackout.
I've done 10 like
12 hours a day.
I've done like 6 or 7 podcasts just completely blocked out.
We know.
Including right at this moment.
I might be blacked out right now.
We
I don't
know.
I can't even tell myself.
A demonic alter ego, which he called Ezrite, emerged, and the youth says he often lost track of his own actions. I call bullshit.
Oh, come on. Give him a break. He's possessed.
I'm calling bullshit. On September 8th, 1985, Sean said he and Richard prepared themselves for the ultimate act of fidelity to Satan. After a sacrificial ritual, Richard stole his grandfather's .357 Magnum, and the two drove to a convenience store in search of Robert Bauer, a clerk who once refused to sell them beer. What a dick.
Well, that motherfucker wouldn't sell him beer?
I guess.
Why didn't he just take it?
They found Mr. Bauer. They found Mr. Bauer in a matters when Sean aimed the gun, fired, and missed. Bauer was terrified.
Yeah, so they found him. They tried to scare him. He shot at him once.
Yeah, and missed. Sean fired again, wounding Bauer, who then ran to the back of the store. Richard blocked him.
Richard yelled. Hold on, Richard.
Richard is blocked friend. Him. He was cock blocked.
Dick blocked him?
He was cock blocked.
Okay.
Richard yelled, "Do it," and I fired and the guy fell, said Sean. The police never connected Sean and Richard to the crime at the time. After the murder, Sean plunged even further into Satanism. In the following weeks, his psychic frenzy intensified.
Did they get the beer?
I don't think they were going to rob him. They weren't going to steal. They were going to kill him.
Well, that just seemed petty.
Yeah, it is petty.
I mean, if they're no. Nope.
Well, they were doing, you know, they were. This was for Satan.
It's Grim War. Is Grim War. Pronounced yeah. Grim War.
I did say that.
Yeah. Yeah. You were correct.
Thank you. Fuck you. So. Well, now, let's see.
See, okay.
While working.
Where are my Jesus pins? You like, where are my Jesus pins?
You know, you talk. You are very shitty.
I'm a shitty person.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe.
It's two against one.
But.
I've got to vote with Brandy.
And that was
one.
A long time ago when I said that. Why are you talking about
it
now?
If you want to say something negative about her, I'm sure I'll support
She's
you.
She's a
well.
Horrible person.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true.
That's no, you're true. A horrible person.
I'm not.
Our listeners might not think so, but you walk around this building. If I walked out this door right now
no, they
and
fear
said
me.
To 10 people, who's the most horrible person in this building? Every one of them would say, Brandy.
You know, yeah, but you know who you're not going to ask is your staff, because they would all say you.
You know what this motherfucker did the other day? You know, so I'm dying. We did the podcast. How many times did we have to stop the podcast?
A few.
Okay, because I was coughing, right?
Yes. We were worried you had the consumption.
Yeah. Right. So we leave the podcast, and we see our boss, right? Mm-hmm. I tell my boss, I'm going home, not feeling well. This asshole says, you're not sick. You have a sinus infection. This is a motherfucker that rushes to the hospital in the middle of the night for a tummy ache to get an MRI, and he's telling me I'm not sick.
He's a horrible person.
I said you had a sinus infection.
Yes. Infection is the absence of wellness.
He's a horrible person.
I know.
Wow.
He's
a prick.
He is a prick.
I kind of feel like I'm being bullied
and
ganged
up
on.
Really?
I
wouldn't know what that's like.
Did he not get up in the middle of the night a couple of weeks ago, get rushed to the hospital for an MRI? Because
I did not. I went
to
my doctor who sent me to the hospital.
Well, and, you know, but he's not. Here's the thing. He's going to be a martyr because he hasn't gotten his gallbladder out, and it's going to attack him again, and then it's going to be, oh, my God.
You know, I can take it. I can take it. I was fine.
Well, she can get that. What is that called? A TENS machine?
Yeah, well, I got to go to the dentist today, so.
Oh, you have to go to the dentist. Well, I'm not putting it in your mouth.
Hey, that's what you always say.
Yeah. Come on, we can do
just
this
for a minute.
I'm not doing it for a minute. No, I'm
no,
not.
No, I'm talking about putting it in your mouth.
Just the tip.
There are so many things in here that it's going to be so much fun.
Well, explain to everyone what you're doing.
She's trying to get that TENS unit on me, but I'm
And you said you'd do it.
I will do it. I just can't do it today because I got to go to the dentist.
Which has nothing to do with shit.
Yeah, because it'll mess up my mojo.
It will not.
Mm. Well, it
may improve your mojo.
He's got to watch out for his mojo. Well, I'm with him on that. It might mess up his mojo.
Next week, this is happening, so you better gird your loins
on
and
Facebook
suck it
Live.
Up. Yeah, buddy.
It'll be a performance killing.
All right, so... So
see, I'm going to be one of those Facebook Live electrocutions.
I'm telling you, I don't think this is a good idea. He's going to have a heart attack and
he's
die.
Not going to have a heart attack.
I'm opposed to it.
I'm a professional.
Can I try it on my back first? Because my back's killing me.
Yeah.
Then to the balls.
Well, no. No.
Has anybody ever tried it on the balls?
I'm sure they have.
You'll be the first.
No.
You'll be a pioneer.
No, this is mine. We're not using it on his balls.
Come on. He's a pioneer.
I don't care. All right. So, look. So, Sean.
Because we all know he's shaved.
Let's do it
I
live.
Know.
Yeah, I am.
I
sure.
know.
You know, when I had to get my vasectomy, I forgot to shave.
They will dry shave your ass.
Oh, that nurse was just brutal with me, Timmy.
She used like a Bic or something?
She did. She used a Bic.
Single blade. Disposable.
Single blade was just running over my scrotum. And,
it didn't hurt her.
You know, you can get Botox in your scrotum now. Take the wrinkles out.
I don't know what, you know, scrotums.
They're a funny thing.
When you was like 6 years old, Timmy, you look at any kid.
I don't look at
okay,
kids.
You know what I mean. But you grew up, so you know what I'm talking about.
I did grow up.
When you're born,
I grew
and
up.
From that time forward, you have wrinkles in your scrotum. You're
yeah,
born
yeah,
with them, and
yeah.
they stay there. I don't know what people are talking about.
Yeah.
Now, saggy skin and looping down and, you know, the balls that hang down to your knees. Now, that's one thing. But, you know,
Hey, what time is your dentist
appointment? If you wear 3 o'clock. If you wear good underwear.
I don't think you're going to make it.
If you wear good underwear, you don't get the saggy balls. It holds them in place.
Yeah. I don't know what all the fuss is about either.
All right. So, Sean was working as a bouncer at a teenage nightclub and fell in love with a 15-year-old named Angel. According to Sean...
Isn't that ironic?
He was how could he love an angel?
Yeah,
to
that's
me?
Ironic.
I don't think that makes
Alanis
sense.
Alanis Morissette wrote a song about it.
Yes.
According to Sean, at first, his demonic spirit, Ezrate, was attracted to her sexuality. Then Sean fell in love... Oh, good Lord. Then Sean fell in love her seeing her as an angel balancing his demonic tendencies.
Okay, so she was...
So he thought that there was an equilibrium between
the
two
yin and yang.
Yes.
Yeah.
He sealed...
I think he's overthinking it.
He sealed a pact with God and told him he would do anything if he could make the girl love him.
Now, why are you going with God? Is he worshiping Satan? Is he worshiping God?
He's going with whoever.
Who's got the power here?
Despite
he seems like a flip-flopper. He's a bi-religious guy.
Well, despite this girl's girl rejected Sean's advances, so he did what every what any good guy does. He started to stalk her.
Yes.
Meanwhile, his parents, Paul and Vonda, disapproved, and they forbade Sean to see or go near her.
All right.
Nine.
Sean resisted and ran away. His parents brought him home, but he was miserable. Sean became so depressed that he took his stepfather's gun and thought about killing himself. A plan to join his natural father in California fell apart, and Paul and Vonda refused to let him live with Richard and his new wife, Tracy.
So what happens next, Colonel? You got this very disturbed young man. He's very angry at his parents.
There's a lot of Richards here.
Yeah. There's a lot of dick here.
Yeah.
A lot of little dicks.
What happens next?
Well, Timmy, Sean's increasingly bizarre belief system was codified in a composition he wrote for English class, last codified, Timmy.
Did you like that?
Yeah, that's a good one. For English class, last February.
Last February?
The previous February,
okay. Satanism has made me a better person, as it often does to people, I suppose. I am free. I can kill without remorse. That's what
you're looking for.
Yeah. Now, I'm not sure that makes you a better person. It makes you a better James Bond.
Uh-huh.
License to kill and, kill without remorse. Now, alarmed, his teacher telephoned Vonda, who immediately poured out her concern in a 6-page letter to her son. It said, in part, I will always love you.
All right, come on.
No, that's what it said.
All right.
I will always love you.
Don't sing it.
I'll always be there when you need me.
You knew that was coming.
Until the day I die. Huh?
If I did, I would have baked the cake.
So I will. She says, I will always love you. I will always be here when you need me until the day I die.
This is his mother, Vonda.
Sean never saw Vonda's letter.
Wholesome looking blonde.
That evening, he spoke to his parents only briefly after returning from the pizza parlor where he worked part time. Because that's, Sean's really, now this way you're getting your life on track. You're working at a pizza parlor part time. You're dressing up all in black and worshiping Satan.
You got that long finger now.
And got the long finger now. Now, he began his nightly devotions when he got home. He took off his clothes and did what I do on Friday night. He put on black underwear and a black hooded cape, Timmy.
Sounds like a party, Brandon.
Don't come
at me with a cape. I hate that shit.
It's sophisticated. You think it shows a certain level of sophistication?
First of all, I'm all about capes, uh-huh. Mainly for girls, but I'm all about them. But here's my thing. Don't surprise me with a cape on. Don't just show up with a cape on. There needs to be a purpose for the cape.
Okay. That's fair enough, Colonel.
That's fair enough. Okay, so Sean took some he lit candles and incense, poured blood into the chalice of the makeshift altar, and began an invocation. Now, he took some speed and smoked marijuana while staying up for 3 days, only sleeping for brief periods. At some point, he also slept.
Sure. Makes sense.
For brief periods.
Makes sense.
I was in a rush.
When he awoke, he found Paul's .44 revolver in his own room.
Mm.
From there, it was only a matter of tiptoeing into his parents' bedroom with the stealth of a ninja assassin.
You like that, Colonel?
It paints a picture. It paints a dark, scary picture.
The guy's got on his black clothes.
Does he have his cape on?
Black cape, black underwear, .44.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, if I shoot somebody, I want to have some black jeans on. Okay. Maybe a Guns N' Roses t-shirt or something. Anyway, here's what he says. Mm-hmm. My heart started beating fast, and then everything went calm. I pointed the gun at my dad's head and fired. I pointed the gun at my mom's head and fired. Afterwards, Sean tried to cover it up and make it seem like there was an intruder that came in and shot them. Sean crawled into his white pickup and started driving. He eventually found himself at Richard's house and told him what he had done. Richard stashed the gun in an advent, and his visitor just went to sleep. It was Sean who discovered the bodies the next day. With Richard and Tracy, he went to his parents' house, ostensibly to get his mother to write a note excusing his tardiness at school.
Claiming he doesn't remember this.
He went inside and came out crying. "There's all blood," he screamed, and ran to a neighbor's house to call an ambulance. Few of his relatives were misled. "We all had the same instinct," says his auntie Debbie Crenshaw. "We had a feeling he'd done it. We just did not know why." At the suggestion of Vonda's father, the Oklahoma police pressed Richard for evidence against Sean. When he was arrested, Sean declared, "If I killed them, I don't know it." He sobbed uncontrollably when Vonda's letter was read to him aloud in court. "I love my parents," he insisted. Richard, who was originally charged with murder, testified for the prosecution. Now, poor Richard, he ain't doing nothing but sitting at his house.
Right.
He swore that Sean had stole the gun, and he waited outside the store and played no part in that crime. So they got him for the store crime, apparently, too. Mm-hmm. And in return for his testimony, Richard received a 5-year deferred sentence for being an accessory after the fact. Now, on March 3rd, 1986, Sean Richard Sellers was indicted on 3 counts of murder. He was just 16 years old. Throughout the trial, Sellers was completely silent while he entered a plea of not guilty, convincing his lawyers that he could not remember the crime happening at all. Now, at his trial, his attorneys claimed Sellers was a practicing Satanist, and at the time of the murders, that demonic possession made him murder his victims, Timmy. He's using a demonic.
He's using the brandy defense.
The brandy defense. That's a good one, Timmy. I like that one.
Thank you.
His attorneys argued that he was also addicted to Dungeons and Dragons. The jury refused to believe either claim, and on September 17, 1987, he was convicted. 3 counts of first-degree murder.
Brandy.
Murder.
The jury sentenced him to death. At the time, Oklahoma law did not give juries the option of giving a life sentence without the possibility of parole. That became available in 1987. One juror later said that the jury felt Sellers would be paroled in 7 to 14 years and that this prison term was not lengthy enough. So she opted for the death penalty.
Well, that's pretty lengthy.
Yeah. I want him to do somewhat. Oh, he can't do 15 years. Okay, death penalty. Other jurors denied this was part of the deliberation. Sean spent the next 13 years on death row. Sellers became a Christian while in prison.
See, Brandy, there's hope for you.
Aw, no.
Very little hope.
You got your Jesus pins.
Yeah.
I do have Jesus pins.
That's a start. Uh-huh. Baby steps, Timmy. Baby steps. His friends started a website on his behalf, and he campaigned for the clemency based on his religious conversion, age, and involvement in Satanism. I don't know that that's the best approach to take, but...
Well, he's claiming that he was young, he was easily influenced,
Still, I was involved in Satanism.
Well...
Now, while he was on death row, he made numerous appearances in the mass media, appearing on the Oprah show.
Well, that's a good gig.
And on a notorious segment of Geraldo about Satanism.
There we go.
He also appeared in documentaries about Satanism and serial killers for 48 hours, MSNBC and the A&E Network. He got married in prison in February on Valentine's Day, 1995, but the marriage was annulled because it was never consummated.
Damn.
In 1997. His step-siblings refused to believe that his conversion was a sincere one. One of his many surviving family members, his only step-grandfather, believed his conversion to be sincere. Prison officials also refused to believe he had converted except for the prison chaplain. Now, the prison chaplain should carry more weight than most people.
Oh, yeah.
But
he's a chaplain.
Yeah, but, you know, he that's what he wants to hear. Yeah, I've been converted.
He goes with Christ.
Now, Sellers' imminent execution brought condemnation from a wide variety, including Archbishop Desmond Tutu, The American Bar Association.
I always picture him wearing a tutu for some reason.
In Timmy's vast research, he also found out that Bianca Jagger was against this.
Wow. Oh, well, shit.
Yeah.
Well, she has a conscience.
Bianca, how in the fuck she end up in our story?
I don't know, but did Brandy, did you read in the news that Aaron Hernandez will be found innocent?
Yeah, he gets his pension. He'll get his NFL benefits, and the kids will.
Yeah.
Because he still had the appeal.
Yeah. So under
by law,
Massachusetts
he's,
law, because his appeals innocent. Did not expire, he expired for his appeals, he's viewed as an innocent.
There was another guy that did a bunch of financial crimes up in New York, a ton of financial crimes. He was very rich, and he was found guilty, given like 200 years or some shit, had appeals. He killed himself, and after he killed himself, they could no longer take any of his property from his wife because he was technically innocent. They had to drop everything.
Yeah.
So
I guess they could. The family could go after him. I mean, the victim's family could.
Yeah.
File a wrongful death.
I would decision. Think if there's any money involved, yeah. They will. Nearly all raised issues. All these appeals raised issues about his age at the time of the crime, and many argued that his religious work from prison outweighed the state's need to execute him. However, he was executed by lethal injection at 12:17 on February 5th, 1999. Did they do the execution in Arkansas last night?
I don't know.
Sellers was the first and remains the only person executed for a crime committed under the age of 17 since the reinstatement of the death penalty in 1976. He was also the first person executed by the state of Oklahoma since 1966. The U.S. Supreme Court in Roper versus Simmons... Not Richard Simmons, another Simmons. In 2005, later decided that it was unconstitutional to execute an individual for a crime committed under the age of 18. 6 years too late for Sean Richard Sellers, Timmy.
Yeah. So later the Supreme Court ruled that he could not have been executed.
Yeah. And Bianca Jagger was unhappy, Timmy.
Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Demon Child? Sean Richard Sellers.
He is a hot mess.
How do you feel about that, O, for a death penalty for someone that young?
You know, That'd be hard.
Yeah. Colonel, your thoughts?
I think that he was just a confused kid, but there's something, you know, lots of kids get involved in Satanism, you know, and growing up, and lots of kids get involved in the weird, you know, dark shit. But most of them don't kill people, and he was, you know, now he had to wear the panty on his head. That wasn't helpful to him in any way.
But if he had been with the First Church of the Latter-day
Colonel, we could have straightened him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you gave us 5-6 years with the devil, we could probably straighten her out, too.
Oh, but, you know, that exorcism would be a rough.
Oh, it'd be ugly. I mean, I'd need 4 or 5 people from the church or the colonel
to hold her down.
Yeah, I'd have to have electricity tied to her, so when she tried to move, jolt her real good.
Oh, her head'll be turning, twisting around.
Oh my God! Let's move forward.
Okay, Colonel.
But I mean, you're evil. That's all we're saying. I mean, it's not that we're judging you, devil. You're evil. That's all.
He gave you Jesus pins.
Yeah, I did.
She put him over there.
Yeah.
She couldn't even pick him up, Timmy. Well, did you notice she didn't even pick him up out of the thing?
Her hands would catch on fire.
Yeah.
Colonel, do a little happy birthday, a little bit of happy birthday for
a little bit of happy birthday
for Alicia.
Alicia. Should I do the Bee Gees happy birthday?
No. Do your Marilyn.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Miss Alicia. Happy birthday to you.
Very nice, Colonel. Very nice. Brandy, applaud that. Come on.
I believe that was a panty dropper right there. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Colonel.
There's probably 4 or 5 listeners out there with their drawers out.
Give us some shout-outs.
All right. Let's see. Which column should we start with today? You know who I'm going to give a Shirley Strap. I got to give her a shout-out.
The person of the week.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Before we do that, Colonel, we have the listener of the week. It is Fallon, the lovely Fallon, and Brandy's going
to take Colonel of Team Mascot.
I'm very sorry, Brandy.
Did Timmy write that for you?
Yes, Brandy, please tell us about our listener of the week.
All right, so little Miss Fallon here. She is from Denison, Texas. She says it's a little shitty lake town riddled with crackheads. But she now lives in Sherman, Texas, which isn't much better, but it's nice. She is married to her partner in crime, Christopher, and she has a bonus baby named Braxton. He is 4 and a sparkle in her life. She loves photography and telling a story. Words are amazing, and she used to dabble in poetry. She has been listening to the podcast since July of 2016. She says her favorite episodes are Bobby Joe Long, Edward Norton, and the Iroquois Theater Fire. She says she downloaded them 4 times.
That's probably because of my excellent research and script writing.
Oh, I'm sure that's what it was. Her personal shout out, she says, is to all her dweebs. She says, you guys bring a very anxious girl a lot of simple joy in life. Stay dweebalicious.
Ah, well, thank you, Fallon. And thank you for being, for listening and for being our listener of the week.
Yep, yep, yep.
Okay, Colonel, now get to your shout outs.
All right, let's run through some of these, Timmy. We got James Rion, Michael Hound, Trish Cream Puff, Charles Dent, Kelly Charette, Susan Capitano, Carrie Amsel, Mike Severinson, Maria Ortiz, Breanne Stewart, Christina York, Caroline Stoffel, Jess Watford, Paula Kimes, Lindsay White, Rachel Cracked, Nick Johnson, Nancy Decca, Virginia Massey, Megan Norsworthy, Jessalyn Ray Rofford, Nava No, Adrian Meredith, Hannah Grosskopf, Cassandra Berger, Daniel Bassett, Michelle Hebron, Samantha Gent, Amber Fresh, Christy Lee, Andrew Dighton. I got Shirley. I just got Shirley Strapp. Shirley, I got you on here. Casey Wilcox, Rosanna. Rosanna from They Walk Among Us.
Yes, Rosanna Fitton.
Rosanna Fitton.
Who's in Turkey now, I believe.
Yes, Vietnam or Turkey or
no,
one of
the
two.
She's in Turkey.
Oh, yeah, she's going to watch the poor little boy
Fiona
get his circumcision.
Was in Vietnam.
That's right.
Yeah.
Brooke Johnson. Fiona Crisp. Mm-hmm. Teresa Klingon Smith. Julie Young. Jordan. Mm-hmm. Dinah Huff. Alicia Wren. Catherine Richardson, Megan Harper, Marissa Rhodes, Stacy Flynn, Jill Phoenix, new addition to the Colonel's team, the lovely, lovely MJ Howard, who is a hospice nurse.
Yes.
You got to admire her for that.
I really do.
Sarah Morgan, Tony Marsala, Brooke Smith, Sabone Lavelle, Chris Lane, Peter Fulmer, Justin Brodeur, Kim Stroop, Kristen Whiting, Lydia, Jason Janke, Kaz Every, Tina Reeves, Teresa Arthur, Tommy Lane is in my ear, Marcus Molina, Lydia Lada, Mash Payne, Holly Schreiber, Terry Pickett, Ron Radsky, Lauren Feller, Todd Long, Natalie Parsons, Leah Pangburn, Jared Howard, Joe Lamont, Matt Brookins, George Huckler, Andrea Odell, Chris Bachelor, Chris Swanson, Paula Kimes, Mark Farnan, Elizabeth Brault, Carol Nash, Ann Daza, Alan Dobbs, James Rian, Melanie Young, Donna Young, Tim Hale, Stacy Gutierrez, Jasmine Whitney, Sean DeBoard, Molly Fontenot, Lauren Marer, Rachel Hummel, Kim Bennett, Ramoni Howard, Sarah Taylor, Allison Schneider, Meg Vansel, Jamie Metcalf, Margot Donahue, Brittany Martin, Danielle from Between Us Girls, Danielle Jones.
Yes.
Deborah Chappelle, Susie Randall, Allie Nett, Hollywood. Jay Alford, Aaron Shipley, Sophia Panna, Ronnie Rhodes, Ashley Hallett, Lauren Meredith, Jennifer Sabota, Kelly Caldwell. Let's see, we got through those columns there, Timmy.
Wonderful.
So, and I got to give a special shout out to a couple people on the Colonel crew, because Radhika Smith, who bought me at the auction.
Radhika,
who I now am property of Radhika. Jessica, just to see how she's doing. And a beautiful, I said, we already got her. We really hope, Rachel Flynn, that you're doing well. If
absolutely.
You're listening to this, we hope that everything turns out for you and they get that pain out of your system and you recover quickly.
And let us know how you're doing, please.
And, you know, we always say, we kind of did this girl wrong, Timmy.
Okay, who?
We always say the very funny and very sweet Karen Barnes.
Of course, she is very funny and very sweet.
But she's a lovely, beautiful woman.
She is, and she's also an Indians fan.
And yeah, that kind of hurts. She's also a New Kids on the Block fan.
Yes.
But a Billy Joel fan. But to give a shout out to the beautiful Karen Barnes. She's a just a beautiful, lovely woman. And Sarah Bloom.
Okay. And two more.
And we got two more. And remember, we're splitting them into columns now. So we got lovely Lady Beverly, who is doing well over in England. And Dottie, we're sorry there's only three people that got killed in this episode. We'll try to do one to get you, 15, 20 here sometime soon. Because we know you like the bloodshed and the gore and everything else.
Yes.
And
all right,
that's it. And a special shout out to the beautiful and really, have you seen her? She's stunning, Timmy. Molly Erickson.
Yes, Molly is very, very
she just, she's a beautiful, she makes jewelry and then she takes pictures of herself with the jewelry on.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can't look at the picture of the jewelry because she's just so pretty it takes away from the jewelry.
Okay.
Okay, yes. And hopefully that got under Nicholas's skin.
I see. Brandy.
It's still war, Nicholas. It's still war.
Where can people find us, Brandy?
You can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have a very, very fun Facebook group we would love for you to join. It's called History Dweebs, the podcast. It's a Facebook group, and most of the people we mention here are on that Facebook group. So please join us, History Dweebs, the podcast. Where else can people find us, Brandy?
You can find us on Twitter.
Yeah, you can follow us at HistoryDweebs1. You can follow the Colonel at Hawk Walters. And you can follow Brandy at Brandy Vennay. S-V-E-N-N-A. Is that right, Brandy?
Sure.
Okay.
And you can follow us on iTunes.
iTunes. Please leave us a review. We got some very nice reviews that we're going to read the next time. Thank you very much for those reviews. We certainly appreciate it. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.